Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. And I'll be sharing today from what are listed as the 12th and 13th chapters of the revelation of St. John the Divine, the revelation of Jesus Christ to the Apostle John. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So going back to the beginning of what is listed as chapter 12, and I always say that for the simple reason that the chronological order of these portions of Scripture is something less than absolute. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. though it says a great red dragon, one should not leap to some conclusion that this signifies communist China or former communist Soviet Union or something like that. It's too easy to leap to errant conclusions. What is true is that this is, in point of fact, Satan. And the seven heads and the ten horns and the seven crowns are yet to be revealed. And they will be further seen in the next portion of Scripture. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. The third part of the stars of heaven, the third part of the angels of heaven, who are later referred to as his angels. They were God's angels, but he seduced them. He enticed them. He overcame them. He enslaved them under his influence, his rulership. They fell from grace. They fell from being God's angels. They proved themselves unworthy to be his angels. And they cheated themselves out of eternity in the kingdom of God. Satan's tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. It is indeed a great wonder. This very young woman, teenage girl, but who was mature, godly, God-honoring, God-fearing, God-serving, God-obeying. Not the likes of some young woman of today who is some YouTube star and some other such social media gadfly. Diametric opposite from such foolishness of even not just teenagers, but young women and women. Self-serving, self-worshipping, self-honoring, self-aggrandizing, self-glorifying. This young woman, on the other hand, she was selected by God for the greatest honor in history. Which is not to say that she should be worshipped, as the Roman Catholics do, and they insist they do not, but in point of fact, they do. They pray to Mary. Yes, they pray to other Christians, saints. They pray to them too. It's all heresy. But the one that they pray to most often, most consistently, most exceedingly is Mary. with the rosaries and so forth. They pray to Mary, diametrically contrary to God's word, diametrically contrary to Jesus' example of how he addressed his mother, of how he treated his mother. He did not dishonor her. But there was nothing remotely in the vicinity of worship either. Not faintly. But the Roman Catholic Church, so-called, has so perverted the gospel and the entirety of the Bible that it is unrecognizable. But clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now that is pretty high honor right there. But you will never find a word in the entirety of the Bible to suggest that Mary should be worshipped. On the contrary, but and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, why is it that Jesus would have been born to rule all nations with a rod of iron? I thought Jesus was, you know, Jesus meek and mild. You know, the milquetoast, milksop Jesus that we are continually told about, instructed concerning in our churches in the United States of America. A perverted idea of Jesus the Christ, as perverted as Catholicism is, even though this is within Protestant Christianity. The Lord God Almighty, he came as suffering servant. He returns as conquering King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Lion of Judah. And in various churches, they mouth such things, they just don't believe them. In so many cases. But this child, Jesus, as a man who had laid down his life, who had served and fulfilled God's will and suffered in our place as the only person that could atone for our sins, being very man and very God, without sin, he having suffered and died and risen from the dead, then ascended into heaven, again in full view of 500 or more witnesses, on a clear day. He's caught up unto God and to his throne. Not in a way that spared him from suffering, no. This is only after he has suffered and died and risen. Then he ascends into heaven. 40 days thereafter. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. No, we do not read in the Gospels of Mary fleeing into the wilderness. No, we do not. Joseph took Mary and the baby Jesus to safety so that they would not be slaughtered in Bethlehem. But no, Mary is now in the household of John the Apostle, who is the scribe writing this revelation from God the Father to God the Son to his servant John via his angel. But here we have the woman fleeing into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. The same amount of time, seemingly, that is spoken of with regard to the two witnesses prophesying in Jerusalem. The same amount of time, as we shall see, that the beast is given power to continue to enslave. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels. Michael, the archangel, archangel. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, the fallen angels, the seduced angels, the treacherous angels, who had been God's angels and became hell's angels, if you will. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven for Satan and these fallen angels. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Satan goes by many names. One of his notorious names is Allah, but he goes by many names. This god of the false religions, of the great world religions, the religions of Molech and Baal and so forth, all of Satan. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. This is a standard that God has that few of us can begin to understand. There are churches, there are church bodies here in the United States of America and throughout the free world that are genuine, okay, that do have a heart for God, that do seek to obey God, to honor Him, to serve Him, and so forth. Not to say that these bodies, these members of the body of Christ, that they necessarily are the most exemplary, but that they genuinely seek to glorify Him, honor Him, obey Him, serve Him. And to some extent they do. They fit somewhere within the seven churches. And then we have other churches, church bodies, organizations, that even though they are supposedly Christian, they're Protestant Christian. Some might refer to them as evangelical, others charismatic, others Pentecostal. They may be affiliations of churches. They may be individual, independent churches. They may be whole denominations. But who fail to genuinely, devoutly seek to serve God, to obey God, to honor God. God's standards are higher than we understand. These brethren who are accused continually, perpetually by Satan and his devils, his angels, his devils, who were accused in heaven, accused to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost by Satan. Imagine that, if you will. It's not just a matter of corrupt, dishonest, dishonorable journalists, broadcasters, politicians, agnostics, atheists, leaders of apostate so-called churches or so-called Christian organizations, accusing Christians publicly or what have you here or in the media. This is a matter of Satan in heaven perpetually, continually accusing these most faithful of God's servants to God of being something other than that. Accusing them of sin, accusing them of wrongdoing. Why would God permit that? Why? I cannot give you an answer to that. I cannot. Why God permits Satan to get away with what he permits him to get away with. Why he has permitted him to do all of the evil that he has permitted him to do down through the ages. I cannot give you an adequate answer. I do not have an adequate answer. Of course, there are experts out there that have, you know, the answer to everything. But They overcame him, overcame Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. No, they were not followers of these false gospels that are so prevalent in this nation and throughout the free nations, throughout the Western world, and which we think we should export to the developing countries. You know, after all, these poor ignorant Christians in these places, they don't have our sophistication. We need to provide that to them, right? So that they can become as weak and corrupt as we are, as fruitless as we are. I'm sure this will upset many, but I'm sure every time I speak that it upsets many, and even upsets, you know, comparatively good Christians. I don't really mean to be so offensive, but I do mean to honestly, accurately, truly communicate God's word. And God's word does offend. And Jesus continually offended the leaders of Jewry, but also many others. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea! For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Oh, heavens, we've all heard that before. Just a short time, it's near at hand, and so forth. Interestingly enough, if we go back into the Old Testament, we find exactly that. The Jewish leaders insisting, no, these prophecies, that's for far in the future. That's not for now. Prophecies concerning God's judgment upon them. Which fell upon them. And those whom they led astray. The devil is come down, Satan is come down unto you, having great wrath because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He thought he could prevail in heaven. He failed to do so. He thought that by seducing and stealing away one-third of the angels of God. Not that he didn't try to take away more than that. But he thought that he could achieve successful rebellion against God. Imagine the breathtaking, extraordinary, really all but unimaginable arrogancy of Satan, to think that he could overthrow God, that he could achieve a coup, that he could seize the kingdom of God from God. That is beyond, really beyond imagination, that there can be vanity so extreme as that. Arrogancy so extreme and all-consuming as that. And yet, interestingly enough, that's what we find in his servants. Extreme vanity, extreme arrogancy, extreme lust for power, habitual dishonesty. These are some of the hallmarks of Satan's followers, Satan's servants, Satan's minions. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Well, my word, that's certainly a change, isn't it? He's been persecuting all of God's dearest servants in heaven for who knows how long, and now he's cast down to earth and he persecutes the woman. The woman which brought forth Jesus. So does this mean that he merely persecuted Mary, that he confined himself to persecuting Mary, or rather, that he persecuted all of her progeny, that he persecuted her descendants? Even as he has persecuted all true followers of Christ. As he persecuted Jesus. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And you find this wording, time and times and half a time, in other places, such as Zechariah. But seemingly, this is another wording, another way to express the 3.5 years. Seemingly. However, again, time. You cannot count on it being what it appears to be. So if you're reading 40 in 2 months, or you're reading 1,260 days, or you're reading a time and times and half a time, while they seemingly refer to the same thing, they may, and then again they may not. And God's prophecies invariably, unlike man's false prophecies, God's prophecies invariably refer to a person or a group of people or a nation of people at one point in time, but also to others at other times, at another time and or other times. That is, again, a hallmark, in this case, of biblical prophecies, unlike the worldly, carnal, sham, false prophecies of self-declared would-be prophets. But she flees into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished from the face of the serpent, nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent, Satan, the dragon, the old serpent, cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood, that he might destroy her, using so-called natural disasters. And the earth helped the woman. The earth. Let that sink in. The earth helped the woman. The wording used here is not poetic license. It is not an accident. It is not a metaphor. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So again, he persecutes the woman, the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. He persecutes all who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I stood, chapter 13, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. An image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. So back to the beginning of what is listed as being chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Previously, in the previous portion of Scripture, we have a description of Satan, that old serpent, the great dragon. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. A crown upon each head. Here we have not Satan, not the old serpent, not the great dragon spoken of, even though he is spoken of in the next breath, but we have a beast rise up out of the sea. After Satan is cast out of heaven, we have a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. So instead of the crowns being on the heads, one crown per head, we have the name of blasphemy emblazoned on each head. Instead of 7 crowns, we have 10, one for each horn. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Here we have a description that fits together with the descriptions in the book of Daniel. In Daniel, what are listed as being the 7th chapter, to some extent the 8th chapter, but chiefly 7th chapter and 11th chapter. And it's not by accident. And it's not by imitation. This is the Word of God, the revelation of God the Father to God the Son, to John by the angel. But the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament. The prophecies of the Old, those which were not fulfilled in the Old, were fulfilled in the new. But again, this beast, the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. Satan gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So previously, Satan was operating in heaven, conducting operations on the earth while he was in heaven, if you can imagine that. You know, it's like these vicious, ruthless, monstrous drug chieftains, cartel top operatives, leaders, organized crime family leaders who are imprisoned. And while they are imprisoned in federal prisons, federal penitentiaries, maximum security prisons, they continue to operate, to run their operations, but from within prison. It's like the Islamist terrorists who manage to conduct operations while they are in lockup, even in terrible Guantanamo and so forth. Yes. Satan gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And so Satan is now on the earth and he's working through this beast and others. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, Satan, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So again, with regard to chronologies here, why I say what are listed as being this chapter or that. This is going on while these two witnesses are witnessing in Jerusalem for 42 months. And they are murdered, they are martyred by the beast. It expressly states that. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and murder them, kill them, murder them. Here we have this beast rise up out of the sea. There we have the beast rise up out of the bottomless pit. So, can one rise up out of the bottomless pit up through the sea? I don't think that would be a problem, a difficulty, do you? But this beast opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. His tabernacle in heaven, tabernacle on earth, them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, to make war with the two witnesses and to overcome them, and to make war with the saints, all of the saints on the earth, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Power over all of these diverse peoples. Power to corrupt them and pervert them. Power to attack and murder all who will refuse to obey him. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All who fail to, meaning who refuse to, worship him, he shall seek to murder. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that murdereth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Not just believers in Old Testament times, dear ones. All believers who obey God, who serve God, are saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be murdered. Now, when it says that he has power to give life unto the image of the beast, no doubt, but that's not even necessary now. With artificial intelligence, all of this is possible without anything miraculous. Could we possibly be nearing the end times? And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, regarding this matter of everyone being forced, being required, being forced to take the number, the mark, the name of the beast in their right hand or their foreheads, it's been talked about. It's been preached about for decades. But again, technology marches on. And many people have chosen, voluntarily chosen, to have computer chips embedded in their flesh, inserted under their skin, beneath their skin, which has barcodes and which has all manner of information, and which can track them with the greatest of ease, and with which they can then, of course, be controlled. And these people that have voluntarily gone ahead with this have done so proudly, boastfully. Again, can the end time be far away? Perhaps you've seen the movie Hitman. If you haven't, you may want to take a look at it for this reason. There's a sequel to it. It's called Hitman 47 something or other. I don't know. But anyway, these two movies, Hitman and Hitman sequel, Hitman 47. These somewhat bioengineered human beings who have been trained as assassins, they have been marked on the back of their necks with barcode. They've been stamped, tattooed. And that doesn't mean, I mean, you don't need to go out and watch one of these movies, but this is something is coming. Now, that's on the back of their necks. This is talking about in the right hand or the forehead. I would think that most would prefer in the right hand instead of in the forehead. But for those people who do not have a right hand, I think forehead would be the option that they would be required to receive this mark or number or name of the beast in. As I've said before, with regard to tattooing, this is a means of asserting ownership. The same as cattle or other animals on a ranch, horses branded to show ownership. The way that these vicious, ruthless, sadistic, monstrous, enslaving prostitute or pimps have girls that they have kidnapped or purchased and raped and enslaved, have them tattooed and or branded to show their ownership of them. So here too, Satan, through his beast and his image of the beast and the secondary beast, has all people on the face of the earth marked one way or another, branded, tattooed, perhaps microchipped, but marked, permanently marked, to show his, that is Satan's, ownership of them. And every person that submits to that inherits eternal damnation, according to God's word. What about people being forced, you know, not willingly, not voluntarily, not agreeing to have it done, but it being forced upon them? Couldn't that happen? I would think that could happen. Certainly there are, again, the case that I've already mentioned to you with regard to these pimps. This is forcible tattooing, forcible branding. And there are other cases of that that you will read about every now and then, of some vicious destroyers branding someone, tattooing somebody. But I think God Almighty is capable of recognizing such instances. And according to God's word, Satan is not going to just round everybody up and forcibly mark them. No, they're given the choice. For the most part here, they're going to be given the choice. You and I will be given the choice of receiving the mark, the name, or the number of the beast, or being murdered. So, I recommend for all who are given that opportunity, that choice, that they choose not to love their lives unto the death. that they choose obedience to God. Because willingly receiving the mark or the number or the name of the beast will ensure eternal damnation. Heavenly Father, holy God, guide us and direct us into the truth. Fill us with thy Spirit, use us by thy Spirit for thy glory, have thy way. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord, in spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, and account us worthy to stand before thee at thy coming. In Jesus' name, amen.